I was just having you on. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We're talking on the gift, the motivation, and the office. We're talking about the prophetic, one of the pillars of our church, or one of the truths that we emphasize as a church. The gift of prophecy, the motivation of prophecy, and the office of the prophet. We shared a little bit on that last week about the gift of prophecy. And we'll just continue with that and trust it'll be a blessing to you. If it's not, you can just watch the TV. We shared that the God is a spirit, and God's unseen. You can't see God. But God manifests himself in certain ways. In fact, the Bible says that you can know this unseen God by the things that you see. That's in Romans chapter 1 and chapter 2. That even his immortal character is known. This unseen God is known by the things that we see, the things of nature. We look at those things, and those things will declare that God is true. The Bible says the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. So God puts his signature in nature, in the heavens, and God manifests himself through the things that he made. God is light. Now, those are symbols of what God is like. God is light, and in him there is no darkness. The Lord is our rock and our salvation. Whom shall I fear? Now, God is not literally a rock, but we can know part of God's nature by looking at basaltic rock, cornerstone, hallelujah. And those things manifest to us the goodness of God, and the prophetic gift of the Spirit of God manifests to us this unseen God. Are you with me? All right, you're allowed to say amen. hallelujah. And in chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians, it says this: pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. So you are to pursue love. You are to desire spiritual gifts. There are 9 gifts of the Spirit, of operations of the Spirit, but we're not talking about that now, all right? But it says, pursue love, desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. And then it says, in verse 3, he who prophesies speaks edification, exhortation, and comfort to men. You're talking to men. So when a prophecy comes, it's talking to you. It's not just talking in the air. It's talking to men. But it has 3 ingredients: edification, exhortation, and comfort. Anything outside of that is not prophecy. It goes into another gift. Gift of revelation, where God reveals things. Sometimes God will give you stuff and you don't know how to interpret them. Pharaoh saw 7 fat cows and 7 thin cows. Pharaoh did not know that he was talking what God was talking about, and Pharaoh needed somebody to interpret what he saw. Hallelujah. Are you okay? But so when those things happen, that's still in the realm of the prophetic. But that's not prophecy. Prophecy has 3 ingredients: edification, exhortation, and comfort. Are you okay? Verse 12, same chapter. Even so, you, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts, Let it be for the edification of the church that you seek to excel. Excel to edify the church. And the gift of prophecy will edify, exhort, encourage the church. It tells you to excel to edify. It didn't say excel to find faults in the church. The church has a lot of faults. Jesus said the church has faults. Jesus said the church has things that are wrong with it. But you don't stop joining the church just because there are things wrong with it. Are you okay? But whatever you do, it says, excel to edify the church. And we need to do that to encourage one another. There's so much bad news out there. Every time you turn the TV on, there's bad news. We need some encouragement. And you can't kill anybody with encouragement, can you? Huh? You can encourage somebody until they are blue in the face. Then you can, and they'll still give me more. And the Bible says, excel to edify. Don't excel to find faults. If you want to look for faults, you can just have to look at me. Some of you were offended this morning when I said, give me a hand. Are you okay? Well, the Bible says, excel to edify the church. Hallelujah. Are you okay? Let me find something. If I find it, I'll preach it. If I can't find it, get back to what I'm saying. Get back to what I'm saying. Hallelujah. Amen. Then it says this. Verse 26. How is it then, brethren, when you come together, each of you has a psalm, has a teaching, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation, and all things be done for edification. Everything that we do must be done for edification. Now, we can tell the church is false, and sometimes we need to do that if we're going to be honest, because sometimes the truth is negative. Are you okay? When you have a boil, you do have a boil. What do you do with a boil? You lance a boil. You squeeze the core out of a boil. Are you okay? And when you squeeze a core out of a boil, how many know it's nice and it's funny and joyful? Huh? And sometimes we need to squeeze boils in the church. But whatever we do, excel to edify. And it says, let all things be done for edification. If anyone speaks in tongues, let there be two or three at the most. Now, often we have two or three messages, and that's all right because they're short. But Paul is talking to how do you do these things in order? Many times in Pentecost, we're very chaotic in the way we do things. Are you okay? Just because we are moving in the Spirit does not mean that Spirit is chaotic. We need to do things in order. Hallelujah. And sometimes we do those things over and over and over again. Some people, well, we need something new. Let me ask you a question. How many know that when you play cricket, there are 11 players? How many know there's always been 11 players? How many know there's nothing new in cricket but wickets and a ball and bat and 11 players? And it's been like that for years. When are they going to do something new? Because that's cricket. And when we come to church, we want to do something new. And when we want to do something new, we want to be chaotic. No, let everything be done in order. Are you okay? How many know there's 15 people in the rugby team? I get annoyed at people getting to church and, well, we need some. There are new things, new methodology and things. But how many know in a rugby team there's only 15 guys? What has got 30 legs and 2 wings? It's a rugby team. And yet the whole world goes and watches this boring thing with one ball. And they watch it day in, day out. And they think it's great. There's nothing new. There's nothing new under the sun.
Mrs. Smith is looking over there because she likes rugby.
I mean, you've got lineouts, you've got scrums, you've got fullback. You don't have five fullbacks. There's always been one fullback. There's no five goalposts, there's one goalpost. And yet we watch it and we think, oh, it's fantastic. And when you come to church, church is boring. It's the same thing. And some people are more excited about rugby than Jesus. Let me tell you something. The church will be raptured, not the rugby team. I'm just lancing a few boils, that's all. Are you okay? Hallelujah. He says, but if there is no interpretation, let him keep silent in church and let him speak to himself and God. Let two or three prophets speak and let the others judge. All right. Now, we may have four prophetic words, but if we let's try and keep it in order. Are you okay? Are you tracking with me? I didn't write 1 Corinthians. Okay. And it says, for you can all prophesy. That means every one of us has the capacity and the ability to prophesy. Hallelujah. One by one, that all may learn and all may be encouraged. Does that mean that every one of us should get up and get a word of prophecy? No, he just finished saying, let it be three. But if it happens, let it be done in order so that people may learn and may be edified. Hallelujah. And the spirits of the prophet are subject to the prophets. A lot of people say, well, I couldn't control, you know, God was just moving so powerfully in me, I had to speak. No, the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. You can stop the prophecy anytime you want to stop the prophecy. On the other hand, you don't have to prophesy every time you get an unction. Hallelujah. Just like you don't have to sing every time you get an urge to sing. Because the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. Hallelujah. Amen. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. So we just want to do those things in order. Amen. Are you okay? And then someone asked about women not speaking in church. The reason, all right, let me camp there for a little while, okay? Let me camp there for a little while, because it says in verse 34, let your women keep silent in the churches, for they are not permitted to speak, but they are to be submissive, as the law also says. Hello. And every woman say, amen. Hallelujah. The Bible has just finished declaring in Acts, your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. What is Paul talking? Paul is still talking about the same thing of getting things in order. The reason he wrote to the church is because there was a lot of chaos in the church when things were happening. Now, you understand that at the time, some things in the Bible you can't cut and paste. Huh? So don't cut and paste the Bible. That's why the Bible tells you to rightly divide the word of truth. Because some things in the Bible, if you read it out of context, you'll get angry. You'll think that God is anti-woman or Paul is anti-women. One of the guys that lifted women to their place is Paul. But the church is very young, and if he's not careful, the church will die at an embryonic stage. Are you okay? So it says, let your women keep silent in the churches, for they are not permitted to speak, but they are to be submissive, as the law also says. And if they want to learn something, let them ask their own husbands. So ask your husband. Don't ask the pastor. I'm Fia's husband, not your husband. All right? I'm just having you on. I'm camping on this so that you'll understand. And don't you ask me any such question again. All right? So it says, ask your husband. All right? Now, what about Kat? Kat's got no husband. Who's she going to ask? But she's a girl. She's a woman. So does that mean, who's she going to ask when she gets home? So you can't cut and paste this. But let me give you some perspective of the culture of the time so you can understand. And so that when you read that, you know that he's writing to that particular church at that particular culture, so that things will be in order in the church. But he's not writing to us to keep our women silent in the church. He's already said, everyone can prophesy. And everyone means everyone. Otherwise, he confuses himself. Corinth is one of the cities of the Roman Empire, probably one of the greatest cities of the Roman Empire. And they had the Olympic Games at Corinth and other games called the Isthmian Games, like the Olympics. And when they have Olympics, how many know athletes come? How many know they need accommodation? And Paul's greatest income in the tent business is those games. Because people need to have accommodation, and they rented his tents. Now it's very practical now, isn't it? All right. So he was in business with Aquila and Priscilla. So they had a great income. Paul was not poor. He paid his staff. Are you okay? Hallelujah. But the culture of the time is very patriarchal. Some things I don't want to say because it's Sunday. But it's a very male-dominated society. Because of that, very few women at all were educated. And when they come to church, the church before that, when they were worshiping in idol places and things, was predominantly a male thing. So when they had churches, the church was predominantly a male thing. And when women came into the church, they did not know what was happening in the church. They segregated the women and the men. And they still do that in certain places in Egypt. They still do that. Women sit on one side, men sit on the other side. Sometimes they have a veil where men are in the front and the women are at the back. The women don't know what's happening. And when the veil was taken down, Paul said, Jesus has taken away the veil. The women now come into the place of worship. And when they come, they did not know what was going on. So Mrs. Ezra will call out, Mr. Ezra, what's going on? And they were asking each other questions in the middle of the worship because they wanted to find out. And Paul said, tell the women to keep quiet and let them ask their husbands at home. If this thing is going to be in order, tell them not to be chaotic in the church. Are you okay? Are you all right? While I'm there, let's talk about something else. It was also the culture at the time that women cover their heads. In the East, they still cover their heads and they cover their faces, some of them. The only people that uncover their heads are ladies that are looking for men. So, when women come to church, if they take that thing off, they advertise something totally wrong. And Paul said, tell the women when they prophesy or pray or come into the church, if they're ever going to say anything, cover their heads. Are you okay? Now, you don't do that now because you can't paste and post it and whatever. Are you okay? Now, the only person who covers his head and prays is Caesar. Now, Caesar was not saved, but Caesar prays to Roman gods. And the only person who covers his head and prays is Caesar. Every other male uncovers their head. Because it's a state of Caesar standing that he covers his head. And he's the only man that covers his head and prays. If you are ever discovered as a man that you cover your head and pray to whatever god, your head will be coming off very shortly. Because you're trying to usurp Caesar's place. Now, in any culture, you know, everything corrupts and it goes down. All right. You can't always police that. So in certain churches, men will cover their heads and praise to show their status, because in that society, status was everything. Not education, not money, it's status. And when you come to church and you cover your head as a man, it shows you're superior to everybody else in the church. And Paul said, men, if you're ever going to cover your head, take that thing off. Because in Christ, you're the same. There's no male and female. No. Are you okay? Are you all right? And then he tells women to cover their heads, because the only women that uncover their heads are women that are looking for men. And the reason is this. I think it's going to turn out into a lecture. But it's good, is it? All right. The man of status in that society, when Paul told the men to love their wives, it is one of the most outlandish things the apostle ever had to say. You know why? Because men never loved their wives. A high status man will sleep with his wife for one reason and one reason only: to get a son. And when he's got a son, he doesn't have to sleep with that woman ever again. Why? Because he can sleep with anyone he wants to, male or female. Why? Because he's a man of status. He's got servants in his house. Those servants are male and female. And he can penetrate anybody he wants to, anytime he wants to. So for Paul to tell men, love your wives as Christ loved the church, that was out of the planet. And yet we look at it now, that was the most insane thing to say in that society. Because men never love their wives. Why? Because they can have sex anytime they want to. So this woman now married this high status. These are high status Roman women. Will probably live the rest of their life without the companionship and the love of her husband. So she's looking for somebody. And they say, if the man can do it, we can do it. And the way we do it is we uncover our heads. Paul said, cover your heads. He told the men, uncover your head. End of lesson. Let's get around with this thing. Are you okay? Now you know. All right. So you go to some certain churches, every woman covers their hair, covers their head with a hat. And I keep trying to explain, because I get asked that everywhere I go where people wear hats. I said, what about the Bible says to cover your hair? I said, well, she says cover. Didn't say cover it with a hat. You cover it with a bucket if you want to, if you want to cover your head. You understand I get into trouble one, but so when Paul said, tell women to keep quiet, he's not saying that this is forever to every church in every culture. He's trying to bring some order into what was happening, because the women unlearned are asking questions in the middle of the worship. What's going on? And because they sit on one side and the men said, hey, what's going on? What's he saying? What about? Tell the women to keep quiet and let them ask their husbands at home. So the young ladies obviously won't have to ask their husbands. They can ask their mom and dad when they get home. Are you okay? All right. That was a gift. Motivation. We shared about motivation last week as well. And there are people who are motivated prophetically. They see things with certain kinds of eyes. Hallelujah. They see black and white. And prophetic people see black and white. They hardly see the grays. And it's either right or wrong. There's no middle ground. If something is wrong, it's wrong. If something is right, it's right. There's nothing in between. And we say that most often, prophetic people marry people with motivational gifts of mercy. It balances them out. Now, Peter Morrow was a prophet. He was a prophet by office, but he was a mercy by motivation. And one of the things that endeared that man to many people is his gift of a prophet comes through with a lot of mercy. Are you okay? It's not wrong to have a prophetic motivation. God makes people that way. It's not wrong to have a mercy motivation. God makes people that way. Are you okay? God knows what He's doing. And most often, people with a mercy gifting marry somebody with a prophetic motivation. If two people that are prophets marry each other with the same kind of motivation, they have to work at it. Hallelujah. Are you okay? Submitting to one another in the fear and the love of the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Are you okay? Praise God. The gift, the motivation, and the office. The office of the prophet talks about a prophet or prophetess. Ephesians chapter 4. And verse 11, and he, that's Jesus, he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. There are five offices in the church: apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers. These are human beings. Hallelujah. And a prophet, obviously, will be able to prophesy. Now, just because you prophesy does not make you a prophet. You can prophesy every Sunday. It doesn't make you a prophet. A prophet is an office set in the church. The gift of prophecy edifies, exhorts, and comforts. The prophet will often bring rebuke. He goes beyond edification, exhortation, and comfort. The prophet also will function in revelationary gifting. Now, the symbol gift of prophecy has no revelation in it. It's just exhort and encourage and comfort. But when a prophet ministers and stands in that office, he sees things. And he can say things that are sometimes harsh, but that's part and parcel of what he does. Are you okay? Now, there are three things we said: the gift, the motivation, and the office. I'll give you another three things: revelation, interpretation, and application. You can have a revelation, but have no idea how to interpret it. Now, sometimes we are wrong when we try to interpret what we see, when sometimes we don't know what we just see. God said to Jeremiah, "What can you see?" Jeremiah said, "I can see the branch of an almond tree." And God said, "You've seen very well. What else can you see?" He said, "I can see a boiling pot." He said, "That's good. You've seen well." But Pharaoh saw seven thin cows and seven fat cows, and he had no idea what it was. He needed somebody else to interpret it. Now, you can have the right revelation and the wrong interpretation. If you have the right revelation and the wrong interpretation, it's not very good. Not good for you, not good for us. That's probably why Paul said, if prophets are going to prophesy, let one prophesy and let the others judge. Let the others look at it, hear it, listen to it. And if God says something to somebody else, then let the other one that spoke be quiet and let the other guy say something. Because God may be saying something where revelation comes with an interpretation from somebody else. Are you okay? So you may get a revelation and have no idea what it means. You need somebody else to interpret what it was. Joseph came on and said, "A seven thin cows and a seven fat cows are not cows. They are ears." Are you okay? "And a seven thin ears of corn and seven fat ears of corn are again." He said, it's the same. It's no different. Just two ways of saying the same thing. When Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, he did not know what it meant. Somebody else came along. Daniel came along and interpret. Not only tell the dream, but interpret the dream. Hallelujah. When you get the revelation, when you get the interpretation, then you apply what you saw, apply it. And Joseph said, this is what's going to happen. It'll be great if you get somebody to help you when the ears are plenty. That will help you so that when the famine ears come, things will be all right. That's revelation from somebody else, interpreted by another person, and applied by the same person that interpreted. Are you okay? Hallelujah. So when you stand in the office of a prophet, he often will bring a word of rebuke to the church. A prophecy does not rebuke the church. It edifies the church. And stand in the office of a prophet, you may bring confirmation to directions of the church. And a prophecy does not direct the church. It just edifies the church. Are you okay? So you got prophecy, your motivation, and the office of the prophet all function together. And we as a church have that truth as part of how we build our church. Hallelujah. It's not the only truth in the Bible, but these are truths that we emphasize that will help us be who we are. Are you okay? How many know you can't preach the whole gospel? I mean, you might say, we're a full gospel church. Well, bless your darling heart. You can live four lifetimes and never preach the whole gospel. Are you all right? And if you think, well, we're a New Testament church, we preach the whole gospel. Well, rip the Old Testament off then. Are you okay? I'm just throwing these things at you to get you to think. And the reason why we use certain truths and emphasize certain truths in our church. And prophetic insight is one of those truths that we emphasize that we may be able to build a church. Why? Because the Bible says we are established on the foundations of apostles and prophets. Hallelujah. Are you okay? And we shared on the double foundation a while ago, unless you've forgotten. Jesus is the foundation. Amen. There's no other foundation. No man can lay another foundation. The foundation of the Christian church is not a teaching, it's not a doctrine, it's not a denomination, it's a person. His name is Jesus Christ. But building on that foundation are the apostles and prophets. All right? It's like you got a double layer. Jesus said, a wise man will dig his house, the foundation of the house, until he finds the rock. And then he lays a foundation on. Now the rock is the foundation, but you say, lay a foundation on the foundation. Huh? Are you okay? When you get to heaven, the city in heaven, the New Jerusalem, the foundation and chief cornerstone of that city is Jesus Christ. But there are 12 layers of the apostles of the Lamb. It's like there is a double foundation. We already talk about that, haven't we? We don't need to talk about that again, eh? No. But the reason we emphasize apostles and prophets is because that's part of those that build foundations. The Bible says, I will make your foundations with fair colors. Your borders and your foundations. It's in the book of Isaiah. I will make them glisten with precious stones and build a great foundation. Now, how many know when you have a foundation, you don't go look at it? How many know there's a foundation in this building, but you can't see it? All you see is the carpet. But if you do it well, God says, I will lay your foundation with fair colors. And part of the prophetic insight and the things that we do prophetically is because it's part of our foundation as a church. Are you okay? Hallelujah. Now that's a very broad brush. Nothing in depth in it, but it gives you an idea of why we do things the way we do them. Go and have a cup of tea and have a good day.